of green, red roses too.
I see them blue. Hello, and this is Ed Cohen, your host on Global Radio Talk Show, coming to you today from London, England, and San Diego, California. Timely with the tragedy in France, today's guest executive interview is Mr. Barry Tomlin. He's a leading authority on world business culture and a management consultant, trainer, public speaker, and writer specializing in cross-cultural issues in business. Barry Tomlin was for 20 years a producer and radio presenter at the BBC World Service and editor of the BBC World Service English by radio and TV. Barry Tomlin has worked in over 60 countries and on all the continents as a business trainer. Now, he is a lecturer in international communication and cultural awareness at the London Academy of Diplomacy. And he has a new book, The World's Business Cultures and How to Unlock Them. So he's gone from being a business trainer to now training the diplomats who need to talk to each other, and perhaps they're not trained sufficiently in cross-cultural awareness. If they are there to solve problems, they're going to need to learn about cross-cultural communication, theory and practices, and Barry Tomlin is the expert. Let's welcome Mr. Barry Tomlin.
Thank you so much, Ed, for that introduction.
Well, Barry, I see from your bio that for 20 years you've been a producer and radio presenter at the BBC World Service and editor of the BBC World Services.
For my sins, that is true. I loved it. Broadcasting and working with a team of other professionals is one of the most exciting things you can do in the world.
So I want to get into learning more about you and about your opinion of what's going on right now in France. But first, why do you think knowing about culture is an important item, an important facet of doing business today?
It's become more and more important. We're now in an age where one size or one way of working no longer fits all. Maybe it never did. But actually what's happening now is that under the influence of globalization, where anything, as Tom Friedman said in the New York Times, anything that can be produced cheaper somewhere else will be. We have multinational teams. We have people working from all over the world. We have China exporting to America. We have China investing all over the world. There is a to and fro between countries in the business level, which we've never had before. So if I'm a business person in Britain wanting to export or work in a country, let's say Indonesia, for example, or in America, I'm going to find that very difficult. I've got to take into account the cultural differences between us in a way that I never had to before. So that's why culture is becoming a deal breaker and absolutely business critical in promoting successful international business. And that's what companies are finding, and that's really what gives us jobs.
Now, you've been an advisor to business, but now you're obviously moving into the political diplomatic scene. What's driving that?
Well, what is driving that is this. Diplomats are obviously posted to different environments around the world, and they have very fast to get used to those environments. One of the ways they do it, and one of the best ways of getting used to another culture, obviously is to learn its language. Because when you get the language, to a degree, you get an understanding of what the cultural issues might be there. However, that takes time. And quite often, you need to be able to move into a working environment faster. Therefore, I'm finding the most successful people I work with who take the trouble to understand the culture of the place they're going to, understand the people they're working with, they get much better results, they build much better relationships, and they have much greater success in what they do. And that's how it operates for them.
Well, you would think that these people are already trained in this kind of a thing in order to be selected to begin with, other than a straight political appointment. Wouldn't you think so?
To a degree, but they always need more. And after all, like in any career, you're constantly learning and developing new skills and learning new things. And therefore, developing your knowledge of culture is a very important area. The problem we face, Ed, is two things. Number one is that culture is very much a matter of perception. And what we find is that when things go well and everybody's on the same page, then the cultural issues don't seem to become so important. So when the culture does become important, it's when things begin to go wrong or get strained or get tense. And you need to understand how the other person thinks, how they communicate, how they organize themselves in order to be able to sort of manage that situation better. And that's something you learn over a career. You don't learn it before you start. The starter point is really learning about the cultural issues so you know where to go, but you're learning it everywhere you go and what you do. And that's what we're helping our diplomats and indeed our business students achieve.
So about the new book, World Business Cultures, with the world of video and YouTube and online training, to what extent in your training, particularly at the academy, how do you use video now in sync with your book?
How do we use video in training? Well, there's quite a lot around. Basically, there's a particular methodology which people use, in particularly in this business, and it's called critical incident methodology. And what it is to take small scenes or small illustrative events and play them, work with them with the group, and you say, okay, now what are they doing? What are they saying? How is it different from what normally you'd expect them to say or do, or what you say and do where you are? And then the key thing, how do you need to manage that situation? How should you adapt or get them to adapt to you? And then above all, the reflection. What am I going to do differently next time? What am I going to say differently next time? And above all, what am I going to think differently next time? So the key to it is these small critical incidents, video elements, which actually illustrate a particular crisis. I'll give you a small example. American goes down to Mexico, and they're doing a deal in Guadalajara. And they get straight down to business. It's hot, and they want to just get to business, get back into the hotel, have a shower, get on the plane, get back home. And the guy says, okay, well, look, sit down. Let's have a drink. Let's get to know each other. And the American says, well, hang on, I want the business. Then we can do it. And the difference is a very simple one. The difference one is that Mexico is above all, like most of Latin America, a relationship culture. If I can illustrate that point, that encounter, and then say, okay, now, do you realize what's happening? Before you do the business, you have to build the relationship. And if you just go straight into the business, there's a chance you'll never make the relationship and you'll never get the business. That really resonates with business people when they realize the kind of mistakes you can make without even knowing it.
Let's go deeper into the book, World Business Cultures. What's different?
Okay, this. Culture's big. If I said the word culture to most people, it could mean ballet, architecture, could mean folklore, could mean anything. Therefore, in a business environment or in an operational environment, what you're going to need is a methodology in order to know how, what to look for, and how to deal. So what I'm offering, and this is what makes World Business Cultures different, is a methodology. Me and my co-author, Mike Nix, what we're offering is, what methodology do you use? And we're giving simple steps, 7 principles that you need to be able to help you understand the way people operate and then make the adaptations in order to get business success. It's the methodology that's important. But, of course, we put in lots of examples, lots of knowledge along the way.
So, once again, the most common thing international business people or people who are aspiring to do global business, they need to worry about what they don't know yet. And then they've got to fix what they get themselves into. Right?
Ed, you'll love this. The most common question I'm asked by anybody, anywhere, when I'm doing training or anything is, how do I avoid upsetting the people I'm dealing with? Actually, what they're saying is, what do I need to understand about the etiquette? Now, etiquette is important, but it's not the most important thing about a cultural relationship. What etiquette covers is, above all, the way you meet and greet people. A lot of Americans are criticized by East Asians and Southeast Asians because they feel, and English as well now, because they feel we're just not respectful enough. So the way you greet people and show your respect for people is very important. And if you don't do it in the right way, then they can feel insulted by you. That's one. Second one is the dress code. You dress right. Well, Americans are much better at dressing, I think, than the British on the whole. But actually, getting the dress code right for the occasion is a very important environmental thing. And a lot of things can go wrong if you don't look right. The third one, which is really, really interesting, is gift giving. I'm sure you know this one, but whereas if I gave you a present, Ed, I'd say open it, and you'd open it, and I'd be annoyed if you didn't say thank you. Similar present in, let's say, Japan or China, you give it to somebody and they don't open it. And the reason they don't open it is they don't want to risk either losing face by not appreciating what you've given or causing you to lose face by not appreciating what they've been given. So they prefer to say thank you very much, put it on the side, and open it later. If you don't know that, then you could well feel insulted by the fact that somebody doesn't actually seem to pay the right attention to your present. So gift giving is very important. One more. Hospitality. My God, what a minefield. That's a faintly funny story, but as you know, Chinese cooking is one of the greatest cuisines in the world, but sometimes they will include some interesting ingredients that you may not find easy to handle. I was once given some advice by a very senior ambassador in China who said to me, Barry, if you are going to go to a Chinese dinner and your host puts something on your plate and says, eat this, you'll love this, this is a little local delicacy, he said, you must try it, taste it, swallow it, enjoy it, but you must never ask what it is. I rest my case.
So Americans in particular might have thought about all these cultural do's and don'ts as a female approach as opposed to a typical male approach. Can you comment on that? Am I out of line by even thinking that way?
Yes, I can. Well, I wouldn't use the word female and male. Obviously not. But however, I think what we have to understand, Ed, is this. I think I'm right in saying this. Ultimately, we all work on the MBA management principles, how to manage, how to run, how to organize, how to work with teams, etc., a lot of which comes from U.S. colleges. And therefore, there is a management structure, a management operation way of doing things, which basically comes from the States. Now, this is great, and it is really useful and really helpful, and it has improved efficiency and productivity in countries all over the world. What it hasn't done, necessarily, is allowed the cultural differences to be recognized fully and to create the adaptive framework in order to be able to take these things. Now, for example, let's take a team. Everybody knows if you take Buckman's theory of team building, forming, storming, norming, and performing. Forming, how you form the team, storming, getting the team to work together, norming, creating common ways of working, and then performing, productivity. In an international team, that storming stage, which is a common management principle, is absolutely bedeviled by cultural differences, because if the cultural differences aren't understood, recognized, given space, and therefore allowed to be worked out and adapted to, then you can find yourself never forming, and suddenly you have a failing team. And that happens in projects all over the world. That then causes the project to fail or usually be late, resulting in penalties and maybe sometimes even cancellation. So there are real business financial risks in not taking into account the cultural dimension.
So, Barry, I want to jump aside now and ask for your expert insight. The tragedy in France and the reaction, not only in France, but seemingly around the world. Can you address this, please?
I would want to be very cautious. As we went to, as you, just before you phoned, the news that the siege was over, with a great loss of life, more loss of life even, had just come on through the news. So I think it would be premature of me, and maybe even wrong of me, to do anything more than make some fairly general statements about some of the things which people feel. There's no question at all that the Islamic world and the Arab world in particular craves and needs and demands greater recognition. They feel that they have been, probably since the end of the First World War, not on the whole in a position where they have felt able to be properly recognized. And a lot of this is to do with the fight for recognition. In some ways, being a minority within a country like France, where they have a considerable investment and interest, and population, and secondly, just internationally. Thirdly, you've got the differences in poverty, etc., which explode in these extraordinary areas of internecine and then now international violence. Diplomacy says, above all, that whatever happens, you keep talking. Whatever happens, you keep talking, and you wait for the moment when the breakthrough comes and understanding can be achieved. We don't seem to be at that stage yet, or we seem to get there, or then something goes wrong. What we need to understand, horrific as this effect has been, is that in many ways, I'm not criticizing free speech, I'm not doing anything like that, but I am saying people feel insulted. There was a huge overreaction, which led to the attack on Charlie Hebdo. I don't know whether it was individuals to who it's affected or whether, in fact, it was representative of anything larger. That will come out in the course of time. All I can say is it's difficult, Ed, but one needs to be aware that one's got to be prepared to look at the causes of these things, why they happen. And quite often there are cultural backgrounds, and one needs to understand those causes if one's only ever going to be able to talk and reach some kind of accommodation or resolution in the future. I would be the first to admit, however, that at this stage of the game, this is the most difficult thing on earth to achieve. I don't know if that helps. It's just a thought. And it's a personal thought. It doesn't represent any organization.
I want to make sure the audience understands that today is January 9th, and in London area, the time is about 18.
It's about, 18 minutes past 6 in the evening. And as I say,
yeah,
we have just heard the news now that the siege has been resolved with the loss of more lives, and indeed the loss of lives of the two people who allegedly committed the assassination in Charlie Hebdo.
We've been talking with Barry Tomlin. His website is culture-training.com.
Culture-training.com, yep.
Barry Tomlin, tell us a little bit about takeaway should be.
All right. Basically, I want you to imagine that you are now going to be dealing with somebody from a country like Indonesia, which may be a country you know well, Ed, or maybe one you don't. You've got to find out, how do I learn about Indonesia? Now, one of the things you need to do is to go onto the web, and you enter in Indonesia. But what you don't do is enter in Indonesian culture, because you get the folklore, which is lovely, but that's not what you need. You need to enter in Indonesian business culture, and you will get things. Next thing you need to go is to go on the internet and find out about the kind of people you're going to be meeting and what is the common way to work with them. When you find, when you are dealing with people in Indonesia, that there are things that are happening that you don't have not understood or you think you may have got wrong, never, ever make assumptions, because your assumptions may be completely wrong. Be prepared to ask and say, I've noticed that happened. Interesting. Can you tell me what it means? And that way you find out what's really people are really thinking, and you find out more about how best to respond in the future. So what you take away from this book is a methodology which says, these are the things you look for. What are the expectations of my client? What do they expect of our relationship? Number two, what are the communication patterns they use? How do they communicate, and how are they different from mine? And number three, how do they organize themselves? What's their management style? How do their teams operate? What are they like on time? Crucial issue in business. If I've got those three things, expectations, communication patterns, and management styles, if I understand those three things, and I've done my research into the individuals I'm going to be meeting, and officials I meet, they do this when they go abroad, then that's when you begin to feel more at home and more confident in dealing with the cultural dimension and not just the business dimension with which you're already familiar. That's going to affect your contract. It's going to affect your negotiation. It's going to affect the presentation and your pitch. Everything you do will depend on the success of that.
Thank you. We've been talking with Barry Tomlin, based in London, the leading authority on world business culture and a management consultant and trainer. He is also a lecturer in international communication and cultural awareness at the London Academy of Diplomacy. And his new book is out, The World's Business Cultures and How to Unlock Them. Once again, Barry, thank you very much for being our guest on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com.
It's been a real pleasure, Ed. Thank you so much for taking the time.
This is Ed Cohen, editor of Global Business News, signing off from San Diego, California.
Yes, I think to myself,